Reed with me. I'm Jeff, and this is My World. This podcast is about getting to know my friends better by reading a book with them and discussing it. Some of these friends read a lot, some read a little, and some, honestly, I'm not sure can read, but we'll find out, that's for sure. Today's guest reader is Dalton. Dalton is my good friend Haley's brother. I'd like to think we're friends, but Dalton is very selective of his friendships. He is the proud parent of a cat named Pam, or Pamela if you're nasty. He is a fellow AmeriCorps survivor, which he turned into a job. In his spare time, he is a blogger, an occasional viner, and if rumors are to be believed, he will soon be starting a business venture with Caroline from episode one. Say hello, Dalton.
Hello, Dalton.
So I heard some giggling in there. Are there any corrections or additions you'd like to add to your illustrious bio I created?
No, I like to be defined by my sister.
By your sister. That's, very true.
That's life.
It's female empowerment.
Yeah, and how I grew up.
I always wonder about that. So I have a younger sister as well. We were always so-and-so's nephew or so-and-so's, you know, how are you related to so-and-so? And they all knew that. And I always wondered how my sister felt because she was the last one of all of us that went through it. And it was always, if it wasn't Jeffrey's little brother, it was like, oh, you're Miriam's niece or something like that. So you had that.
Well, yeah, Haley was like the smartest kid in her class and also one of the best athletes. And I was only smart.
So you just sort of had to.
And like deal in with a small New Hampshire town, only smart doesn't get you that far.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you've got some distinctive characteristics that are un-Haley. I think you've got the creativity, obviously.
Yeah, well, one thing that I learned while I was looking for my, spoiler alert, Captain Underpants fan fiction, I came across all of Haley's creative endeavors, and she was, like, super creative, and then it looks like in fifth grade she decided not to be, and so she stopped producing anything creative.
She put all of her energy into sports and...
Yeah, it's very strange.
Yeah.
It was an extreme cutoff, and I'm very sad for her.
So I'm interested in this. What sort of creative things did Haley do?
She had, like, a series of comics of these characters that, like, were very distinct in, like, her creation, and they had, like, it was like a family. It was like a little story. It was like a little family circles that she, like, wrote many issues of.
Wow, now
for no one but herself.
No, okay. Did you do the same thing? I mean, you already said the fanfiction.
Yeah, we both have very similar, like, things. And then I continued on, and she, like, abruptly stopped and was like, I'm going to be an athlete and a nerd. And I was like, I'm going to be a weird nerd.
You're going to be a weird creative nerd. But, like, that's really interesting because you look at, I mean, obviously I'm obsessed with the Brontes, Emily Bronte and Jane Austen, and their juvenilia is kind of, like, a big deal. So it makes me wonder, like, what if you two were to keep going? Like, you could be the next Emily Bronte, or Emily, well, I mean, Haley could be, like, one of them. I mean,
yeah, I'm glad that we split. I'd rather, that makes me better, more unique.
Okay, I'll give you that. You went to Vassar.
Yeah.
What did you study at Vassar?
Liberal arts.
Liberal arts. So it's just like a
It's technically political science.
Okay. So you both
I don't
did
like
science.
To define myself by that because
oh, no,
I don't do anything in it.
I don't either. So few people do. And you grew up in New England?
In northern New Hampshire.
In northern New Hampshire, but you were born
in Arizona on the Apache Reservation, Sholo.
Okay. Because we actually talked about that the other day.
It's the coolest fact about me.
Yeah. I mean, it's a really interesting fact. And you lived there because your parents worked there?
They were, like, ski people who, like, traveled to mountains, and they're, like, ski gypsies who worked at different ski areas, and there is one in northern Arizona. There's a mountain there.
And it's an Apache reservation. That is, I think that is a fascinating fact, and that's one of the things that stands out. I'm like, Haley and Dalton got to live on a reservation. That's not fair.
So, yeah. I was only one when I moved, so I have no memory of it.
But you were born there.
I was.
So, okay.
Yeah.
So that's,
and Arizona's a state I should be proud of from.
That, talk about politics and crazies. You went to college, and then you came to Boston right out of school? Or did you...
Yep. Okay. Right out of school. I knew Caroline, who was a Vista lead, so that's literally why I did Vista.
Hey, the rest of us did it because there were no job options.
Well, that was probably the real reason.
The second part of that. And you were a Vista for 2 years. How did you find transitioning from college to Boston and adult life, quote unquote, through Vista? Like, I don't know. I didn't struggle. Everyone's like, it's so expensive.
It was pretty easy.
Yeah.
But I had benefits of. My sister needed a roommate,
yeah,
and it timed out, and then she wanted to live in a nicer place, so she offered up to pay more rent. I also, my sister paid for all of our bills, and I just gave her money, so I did no real growing up. That's what I'm going through now.
Now, I was going to say, Haley's just moved.
Yep.
She is currently driving to the West Coast. When this comes out, she will have been out there for almost a month. Are you excited? You're moving on your own.
Yeah.
With your Miss Pam.
My cat.
Your cat.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, nice place. It's a newer, like, bigger
it's
apartment building, right?
Yeah, it's like a real building.
Okay.
Like, with an elevator.
Oh,
it's legit.
Nice. And then you are also part of our book group, our Jane Austen book group.
Yeah.
Now, we obviously peer pressured you into this, shaming you.
I asked on Twitter.
Yes. Well, you've kind of gave away your sucker card. You're like, if you ask me on Twitter, I'm going to say yes. But how are you enjoying it or not enjoying it? I mean, it's kind of hit or miss, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I've enjoyed any of the books,
yeah,
but I've enjoyed the experience. I've never read Jane Austen, so I felt like I should do that,
yeah,
and this was a good excuse to, because otherwise I would never have,
yeah,
read her. I think she makes better movies than she writes books. That's,
yeah,
my biggest takeaway.
I think there are very good adaptations of a lot of them. Some, like Emma, I don't think should be a part of the universe. But I was excited that you joined it, and we're already talking about Harry Potter next year, which will be exciting, because you just asked about my...
I've been told I look like Harry Potter.
Multiple. I could see that.
When
did
I,
you ever...
When I don't have facial hair. I would, when I was waiting tables in college without facial hair, I would get it probably at least 3 times a week. You know who you look like? Harry Potter!
I see, you just
one week,
like,
I held it like I had a wooden stick in my pocket. I just, like, held it up. I was like, yeah, I get it.
She just had it fall out accidentally.
I have heard this before. Any brown-haired skinny kid with glasses,
yeah,
has heard it so many times.
I think those were all the general introductory questions before we go into Captain Underpants. Well, we can talk about that before we actually go into the book discussion. What made you choose this?
Growing up, I don't know, when did these come out?
I think 96 it was originally released. 96,
okay,
97.
So 97 is this copyright. I was 7. So I probably didn't start reading them until I was like 9. I got like Mad Magazine. So like it was right up my alley. And then like...
So you were like the sweet spot for this.
Oh,
group.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I had all of them in paperback. I think they're probably still at my house, but they are falling apart. Like,
are they?
All of them don't have covers anymore. They're, like, taped on. I bought it new.
Now, does that have Flipperama in,
yes,
it? Okay. I wasn't sure, because this one was, like, new in color. I was like, so were they,
yeah,
always
mine's
in color?
In color.
Okay.
I prefer my black and white,
okay,
version.
Okay, so that's... I want to look at that before I leave. But I was like, so is the Flipperama new?
Oh, there's
or
a lot of color.
It? Yeah, the whole thing is color.
I don't know if I like that at all.
So we'll have to talk about that in general.
Yeah, so I loved the book, and I was like... I don't know. I wanted to reread it, and this was an excuse to do that.
Yeah, hey,
opened my eyes on a lot of things about me.
Yeah. Well, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, we'll talk about that. I read it. I started when I left work at 2 o'clock. I was done within 5 minutes of walking in the house. Like,
oh, yeah.
It took me, like, maybe half an hour.
Yeah, I started it and quickly, like, had to cut myself off because,
yeah,
I was also reading Mansfield Park and didn't want to... finish one,
yeah,
this,
well,
one too quickly.
This
was my, like, dessert for each time I forced myself to read the
good
other
chunk
book.
Of it.
I was like, okay, I'll read a chapter of Captain Underpants. So that's 30 seconds.
Yes. Well, that's like, that's when I was, later on when you read, I was like, I want him to read part of it because that's part of the shtick, but you can only read, like, 3 pages.
I could
pages.
Tell you what page I'd want, what chapter I'd want to read.
Okay, well, tell me that when we get to it.
Okay, it's my favorite,
yeah,
chapter.
That was one of the great things about this, is I got mine from the library. I mean, I'm sure the librarians think I'm crazy. The,
yeah,
book I got before this was about female alcoholics, and I got Captain Underpants. But it's very clearly a loved copy. Little kids,
oh,
have,
yeah,
checked it out, and I'm going to tape it before
I bet
I
they
take
had
it back.
A paperback, and they had to get the hardcover because,
oh,
kids destroyed it.
Yeah, and it just, like, I think the Flipperama where you flip the pages back and forth is really cool, but, like...
Oh, I remember. Those were definitely the first pages that fell out of my original copy.
Yeah.
It was the Flipperama.
So it's just, it's great, and I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I'm glad we read it. So when we come back, we are going to dive into the discussion of Captain Underpants. And we're back to talk about Captain Underpants. So the actual title of this book is The Adventures of Captain Underpants. And I've had a couple of people say, hey, we've never read the book. You should give us a little brief overview. So I've decided this time I'm going to read. You're going to get the, you're not going to get a brief. This one's impossible to do a brief overview because it's so short. But what I'm going to do from now on is I'm going to read the back blurb if there's one available. And then after that, you're on your own to decide if you want to read it and listen to the rest of the podcast. So according to the back of this book, meet Captain Underpants. Fourth graders George Beard and Harold Hutchins are a couple of class clowns. The only thing they enjoy more than playing practical jokes is creating their own comic books. And together, they've created the greatest superhero in the history of their elementary school, Captain Underpants. His true identity is so secret, even he doesn't know who he is. And that's it.
Mine's different. Sorry.
Oh, yours is different? What's it say on the back?
It's similar. It's okay. The same.
Now we're just going to dive right in. What? So we talked about you reading it as a child. Now, what was the experience like reading it almost 20 years later?
Yeah.
Or like 18, 17 years later?
Yeah.
How?
Over 15 years later.
Yeah, how was that?
I mean, there's some parts... I have a lot of questions for the author of whether he was making weird sexual jokes or if he...
Double entendre?
Yeah. Or for like the adults that had to read this to their kids.
Yeah.
Like a Pixar movie, or if it's... Or if he's creepy, or if it was just completely accidental.
Yeah.
I'm very confused by it. Also, I thought his name my entire life was Dave Pinky.
I got the Pilky, but I thought it was Dave, and I was like, nope, when I read it, I'm going to have to remember to say Dav. Yeah, so that's it.
I mostly really enjoyed it. I picked up on things of like, oh, this is clearly influenced why I think certain things are very funny.
Okay.
So,
such as?
Poop.
Okay. That was the thing. Like, I appreciated the potty humor. Some of it was, like, ridiculously over the top, but then you're like, all kids love potty humor.
Yeah.
And we was like, there's that one scene where they're raiding the drawer and they're like, don't forget the poop. You can always use
the
poop.
Yeah, I mean, when I was, like, 10 or something, we were on a boardwalk in Delaware with, like, my family, and my cousin and I each got fake dog poop because of this book.
Okay.
I use it so much. I, like, would drop it off in front of people I knew, and then, like, we would stumble upon it, I'd pick it up and try to pretend to eat it. Always a hit. Got, like, one lady almost, like, dry heave. Some, like, fancy lady in D.C. when we were staying with my friends. So that... It was a great time. And then I put it in my friend's bed, and he freaked out, thought it was real, and threw it in the garbage, and it was disappeared forever.
That is not the first time I've heard that story. I think that is great. So that's one of the things that I wanted to talk about. Like, when you read it as a younger kid and you reread it again, sort of how did you see reality versus pretend, you know, fake versus real? Like, do you remember having any sort of issue separating what's going on in the story where they're, like, skipping school, beating up robots, like that sort of thing? Like, I don't know.
Okay, one thing I never ever thought about, the skipping school, but that's a good point.
Okay.
The robot, yeah, I mean, rereading, I don't remember my reaction to that. I think I've always had an issue when they filled the football with helium and it flew up and just never came down.
The scientific...
I remember as a child being like, that's not a thing.
Yeah.
That's not how... the football's too heavy.
Well, and I was kind of like, well, how would they even hold the football, like...
And how would they fill it? I have so many questions with that one prank. Otherwise, I'm fine.
Yeah, but it's very much...
I mean, rereading it now, I'm like, this is insane.
Yeah, okay. So that's one of the ones that
I don't remember
down.
Thinking that as a small child. But I think I also fully understood this is a cartoon. So
okay.
And I was in the mood of constantly watching cartoons. So, like, I was ready for...
And you always knew what was going on.
It's just what I was consuming.
So now, would you be surprised to find out that this was, in 2012, 2013, the most reported book for banned books?
Oh, yeah, I feel like I've heard that. Yeah, it's weird. Like, I mean, but I also... So, like, I grew up in a house where my mom let me watch ultra-violent things because I did karate, but yeah. she wouldn't let me watch The Simpsons because she thought Bart was a bad influence.
Yeah, okay, so like that's something
I'm surprised
I don't understand.
Almost that she let me read this yeah. and Mad Magazine because those were both, that was way filthier than...
so horrible influences, yeah. quote-unquote. So like, but do you see, we're not, we're obviously neither
I
of
see
us
like
parents.
Their issue of questioning authority, and I think that's why it's like,
okay,
they end.
That makes
I think they
sense.
Use it as an excuse because he's a, it's creepy that there's this like fat naked man hanging out with two small children.
Who's also the principal.
Yeah. I mean, I think there are many reasons. I think it's mostly probably the power thing.
Okay, see, that makes sense. I guess I hadn't made that connection. One of my book blogger friends blogged recently about Ramona Quimby, who I think was around the same time.
Yeah, she was like the girl.
And she was a horrible little girl.
Oh.
Throwing tantrums and not doing
that.
What she was supposed to do.
I didn't know
do.
That about Ramona. I'm disappointed to hear that.
Yeah.
But she was a good girl.
But what got me was that the person that reviewed it was like, why would you let your child read this? Like, it's teaching them all these bad habits. And I guess my problem with that sort of response, why are you not teaching your child the difference between fake and pretend?
Yeah.
But I do now, so now that you said that with the, like, the power and the, like, the resisting authority, that I can see that a little bit better.
I mean, that's
I am, like,
why my
so
mom,
anti-censorship.
That was why my mom wouldn't let me watch okay. The Simpsons, because Bart was, like, a little troublemaker, and she was okay. like, I don't want you seeing that. I don't care about this other, like, potty stuff. It's the, like, troublemaking aspect.
Okay, but that, but
like,
that
questioning
is...
the authority of...
I would much rather have my kid question authority than think they could skip school
and obviously,
and
I don't think it really
like
worked, because I, like, pretty... I question authority pretty strongly, so...
Yeah.
And I think my mom now appreciates that, so...
Yeah.
I think it's just a weird thing.
Yeah, so, but yeah, when I found that out, I was like, I'm not surprised that it's on that list, but I'm kind of, I want to just know why.
Yeah.
And I want to know why a parent would be like, no, my kid can't read this, and why would you want to take it out of a library? Like, okay, your kid can't read it. Watch your kid. Like, okay,
and
that's
like,
fine.
And, like, read it. It's so harmless.
Yeah. I mean, I was more concerned about two little fourth graders skipping school, jumping out of
windows.
That
was something that, like, again, as a, I'd never, and even now reading it, I thought it was creepy because he's with the adults, but I don't think of the kids as, like, doing crazy things
yeah.
other than being with this weird adult.
Well, and that's... Okay, so the one... We'll go with the creepy for now. The one creepy thing that got to me was... So this is the introduction of the hero. And I think this story is incredibly meta, reading it. So
yeah,
I want to talk about that.
I wrote meta a few times on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I want to go back to that because I was like, wait, so... What? The one really, really creepy incident was at the very end. So, like, they talk about, they introduce the character in their comic book within the comic
yeah.
book, and they say he shoots underwear. And that is the one really creepy incident towards the end of the book where he shoots his underwear. And they're like, wait, where'd you get extra underwear from? And I was like, oh, what's going to happen? And then he comes out in a barrel, like, classic cartoon trope. But I was like,
Also, why they had him holding the hand of the very small villain
who
was wearing
a diaper
and you couldn't see his face, so it just looked like he was holding the hand of a small child with a underwear on his head. I circled that picture and said, this is horrifying.
Yeah, it's, I mean, that's, again, it's sort of...
And he's, like, tenderly holding his hand. It wasn't like, I got you. It's like, we're just holding hands.
It's very interesting. Maybe it's because we're so cynical as adults, but it is. It's that kind of... It's his smirk.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably worse in color.
Yeah.
Because it is. It's it's that smirk of, ha, 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 I've got this small person. And, you know, it's kind of creepy. And it's the scene right after the one I was just talking about where he shoots his underwear and they're like, hey, where'd you get the extra pair from? And I was like, oh, no, he doesn't have any extra underwear. Maybe that's why they're challenging it. And I would be like, okay, I kind of can see that. What did you, the next thing you want to talk about? Was
oh, well,
specific?
I have more creepy things.
Okay.
Mostly, my biggest creeping, like, horrifying moment was you go to his desk, and he's, like, sitting behind it, and it's just
that
him,
sign.
And it has a sign that says, Neil here,
yeah,
under him.
It's, that's...
That's...
I don't understand.
Why
it.
Would you have that sign?
Yeah, it's...
It's only that's the moment where I was like, is this author... like, aware of what he's implying here? Or is he creepy? Is it a joke? Or is he even aware? I don't know which one.
Yeah.
I hope it's a joke. That's my biggest hope. I hope
that's
it's not creepy.
I was sort of hoping. I saw that, and I did. I took a second, and I was like, And then I left it. But it is. But if you think about it, the only adult in this book is kind of a sadist. Is that right? Sadist
yeah.
or masochist? Yeah,
masochist.
Masochist. They get in trouble. He's like, you two are going to be my little slave boys.
I mean, my whole
next...
thing is, like, I said he, this feels like a, because he has a contract he hands them. This is a 50 Shades of Grey, like,
for 9-year-olds.
Precursor for 9-year-olds. Yeah, I wrote throughout that, like, whole punishment thing of, like, this is all about power dynamics.
Yeah.
And then, like, when they get the power on their side, it's like, and then they kind of torture him by making a chicken
and
like,
monkey.
A mindless. Yeah. I was like, this is all about them exerting these weird power dynamics, because there's a weird sexual tension between these boys and this man. Because, again, at the end, the way that they have to get him out of his, like, funk is they have to get him wet.
Or they get him wet, and they're not supposed to.
And he says, why am I all wet? I was like, no.
So, okay, so, but did that, so that changed the book for you, obviously.
It made me really, it just made me confused.
Uncomfortable? Did it make you uncomfortable?
It makes me, it also makes me feel nice that at, like, that young age, I didn't pick up on anything.
Yeah.
I didn't, like, think gross like this. So I've,
jaded.
It's nice to know I was naive.
So you said
I don't dislike it because of all that
stuff.
Oh,
no, definitely. I thought it was great, even with all of that. Like,
I just
want
to know
if
it's on purpose.
If there's agency behind it. Have you reread any of the others since you reread this one?
No.
Do you think it goes through all the rest of them? Can you remember? Or is it just sort of...
Oh, I think nobody changes. There's never an arc that they're like, I've throughout the series becoming... It's just like one story each time. Is one... Oh, also, I've never... know which one is George and which one is Harold.
Well, that was something interesting, too. Like...
Oh, no. I circled one. Of course, that guy's name is George. I don't know why.
That's interesting, because I thought the black kid would be Harold. But I also found it interesting that in the first chapter, he's not like, George is the little black kid.
Yeah, they go left.
Harold is the little white kid. Like, he's like, George is that kid on the left with the tie and the flat top. Harold's got the bad hair.
Yeah.
I was just kind of like, okay, so racially blind, I can get that. But it was very... I don't know. I enjoyed it.
I thought they were the original Harold and Kumar.
Harold and Kumar.
Like, they're obviously gonna, like, burn out.
Yeah.
In a fun way.
Yeah.
Because they're clearly smart and creative, so I have faith that they're gonna, like, be successful like Harold and Kumar, but also, like, be mostly burnouts and not really care.
If he were to write one, like a Where Are They Now or 15 Years Later, would you
read
it?
Very much like... I would like to write that fan fiction.
Okay. How do you feel... So, this is before we go into the meta story, because the meta story, I think it was... I think that was probably the most creative thing, and I think it's something that you're only going to get as an adult.
Yeah.
I don't think you'll read it. So, I think Pilkey is smarter than we think he is.
Yeah. I guess to write that kind of story with that
because he's writing
that layers,
to both audiences.
Then I'm going to say he gets these weird jokes.
Yeah.
That are still creepy, but I guess funny.
Sort of, where would you see this in, like, recently in the book industry, book blogging, all of that fun stuff, children's literature, young adult literature, like, how do you see those genres? I mean, they're obviously created genres, because this is very much a chapter book. It's very much for a very specific niche age. I mean, obviously, there's a market for it, but, like, going back to it, are you glad you read it? That sort of thing. Like, did you read other books like this? Was there a transition between this and Jane Austen, or, like, you know, like an adult novel?
I probably started with like magazines.
Okay.
I feel like I was reading Time magazine as well as Mad magazine when I was like nine.
Nice.
Like, because those were the two we got as a family.
Hey, you read what you have.
Yeah,
it's legit.
And then in terms of, like, books, I know I read, like, Magic Treehouse. Is that the thing?
The Magic School Bus?
No, Magic Treehouse, I think.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
They, like, went into a treehouse and they could, like, travel through time.
Okay.
And then, like, they would do an adventure in each time period in a different part of the world.
Okay. Then did you transition up to, like, Goosebumps and that sort of thing?
Yeah, that was, like, the Goosebumps level.
Okay.
And I couldn't read Goosebumps. It scared me too much.
Me too. I had to sit outside when they read them in class. I had to sit outside the classroom. I was like, I can't do it.
Yeah. And then I went through, like, most of middle school where I only read what I had to read for school.
Okay.
So I didn't, like, read for pleasure, really.
Yeah. Now, the meta.
Okay.
You said you wrote down meta. For me, it didn't really hit me until I finished. So, sort of, when we think about it, there's three stories going on. There's the story of what's happening, then there's the comic book story that Harold and George write, and every time I'm struggling not to say Harold and Kumar now, thank you for that. And then there's when the two merge. which is technically the story that's still happening, but it raises the question of, it's almost like, which came first? How did they... I mean, obviously the comic book came first, but it just, it was so, like, by the end I was kind of like, so is what I'm reading the comic book?
Yeah.
Or is it the
well, and like,
the story?
From what I remember, the enemies get more insane as they go. Like, it becomes like aliens, becomes talking toilets.
I knew the talking toilets.
It becomes like, I think the lunch ladies are aliens or something. It becomes like very, like, the enemies always are crazy. Bigger. And this is the most normal one, and this enemy is insane.
So that was one of the things that, like, hit me, like, okay, bank robbers, totally legit, I get it, understandable, and I could even see someone dying of laughter because there's a old guy, old bald guy, in his underwear, and then all of a sudden, robots and diamonds are
It really pops up. It's like, oh, whoa.
There's no connection.
I have a lot of questions about these enemies. Mostly about when they throw the fake dog poop at the bad guy.
Yes.
And then he, like, sees it, and he's like, he thinks he did that.
But yours does yours. So I agree, because I was very confused about that. I was just like, okay, absurdist, I'll take it.
And he's like, this has never happened to me before. And it's like, dude, you're wearing a diaper. You've pooped yourself a lot before. Like, you do this all the time. That's why you're why you have to wear a diaper.
Yeah. Now, I think...
Oh, but then at the end of that chapter, I'm just going to say, they talk, they say, like, we're not going to have to resort to extremely graphic violence, are we? And then I sure hope not. And then they, like, go to the flip book where
I think, super meta, that
they're telling us.
So that's, and I think that's where it started to hit me how intelligent he was as a writer, because I loved the warning. Like, I took a picture of that. It says,
well, because then he's making it just like a comic almost.
Yeah. Warning, the following chapter contains graphic scenes showing two boys beating the tar out of a couple of robots. If you have high blood pressure, or if you faint at the sight of motor oil, we strongly urge you to take better care of yourself and stop being such a baby.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it just, he's very, very tongue-in-cheek. Everything about the book is very tongue-in-cheek, and I appreciated that. I don't know, I still haven't figured out, sort of, it's the same idea of bringing a fictional character to life.
Yeah.
But it's within a fictional universe, and it, for some reason, I struggled with that. And I know I was reading too much into it, but it was just kind of like, which part's the real part? You know, like, I mean, obviously we're the real part reading this, but, like, I was like, okay, I can buy that Jordan and Harold are real. I got that. I can do that. And then all of a sudden the robots are Captain Underpants and hypnotism and the robots.
And people are surprised, but not, like, it's clearly, it's a world in which robots and, like, mastermind villains do exist, because nobody's, like, so shocked.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, wow, it's a robot, but then they're, like, fine with it. Then they're right back into the action.
Well, and
like, because if I stumbled upon a robot when I was in fourth grade taking over the world, I'd not have reacted like that.
Well, and that made me laugh.
Well, that's why George and Harold are better than me.
So that, well, I guess, and I guess what it is maybe it's, and maybe when you read it the first time, it was easier to just accept that, oh, that's part of the world. But what made me laugh, and I think he did this in more than one place, was, you know, well, I started talking about, you know, what about those kids skipping school, skateboarding on this? What made me laugh hysterically...
The Simpsons joke?
Was, wait, which one's the Simpsons joke?
It's just that they have, like, the written, smaller text, like, because the kid's saying...
Yeah, but the,
why would you, or the mom's saying, how could you believe that? And she's reading, like...
Yeah, and she's reading the Bigfoot gives birth to 200-pound UFO baby. And I was just kind of like, okay, so this is just a kid's world and sort of looking at the absurdity of the adult world.
Yeah.
Through the eyes of Captain Underpants. And what did the man...
Our Lord and Savior.
did Diaper Man have a name?
Dr. Diaper. He earned that degree.
Apparently. But yeah, so I don't know. I just...
Well, and, like, the truck is just called The Bad Guys.
The Bad Guys. Not, like, I appreciated that.
There's a few of those, like, written jokes, aside from the rearranging letters, or just in the background. Like, I think when they go to the police station, there's also a, like, we'll be back in 5 minutes, please don't commit any crimes.
Yes. Yeah. And it's those little details, I think, that made it, that are very clearly there for, I think, the adult who's reading the story.
Yeah, I don't remember ever paying attention to that stuff.
Yeah, and then the same thing with the instructions, whatever you do, don't pour water on anybody's head when they're in a trance. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. There's just so much that went into it that I was able to enjoy it, I think.
Yeah.
More than if it was just, if those little bits were lost.
Yeah.
I think something else I really liked was they included a copy of the really cool Adventures of Captain Underpants, written by George Beard and drawn by Harold Hutchins.
Yeah, just the spelling stuff.
I thought those were even the ones that were included in the story.
Yeah, I'm the Inedible Hunk is, one of my favorite touches of, they clearly wrote Hulk, and then they, had to rewrite Hunk.
Yeah.
Because, they're... maybe my favorite joke of the book is in the comic, where the kids are yelling, "Help, the Inedible Hunk just ate up 15 folding chairs," and the gym teacher and the principal's yelling, "Oh no, not the folding chairs."
Yeah.
It's that's so funny.
And I think,
I think I find those jokes still funny.
Yeah.
This is probably where I first encountered it.
Okay. Yeah. But that with principal being misspelled.
Yeah.
Of those.
There's spelling
mistakes
everywhere in it, and it's great.
And it fit. It was this is written by fourth graders.
Well, and then when I was looking at my fanfic, I also, misspelled constantly. So it's okay, we are on the same page.
Well, let's
developmental level.
Well, let's go into this fanfiction. So where in the Captain Underpants?
Okay, so it's not Captain Underpants.
Okay.
I made a ripoff character called Captain Diaper.
Captain Diaper, oh, okay.
I know that there are a lot more of these that were created with my sister illustrating and me
writing.
I think just doing the story and her actually still writing it.
Okay.
So, I had the story idea and she did all of the detail work.
You were the creative. She did the labor.
So, and this is one that I did all on my own and it's not good.
So, what's the, let's start with the title.
Oh, Captain Diaper. And I ran out of room, didn't want to start over, so I just did the hyphen and put the ER at the end. Versus Evil Eye Man.
Okay.
And Captain Diaper is holding a rancid diaper on a sword up to Evil Eye Man's face.
Right, I have to see this picture.
And he's saying P-U, but he spelled it, I spelled it P-E-E.
Okay. It's sort of not the B films. Yeah, the bootleg movies that they do where they just change one letter or something.
Yeah. Pretty basic story. I have no setup, just that this evil eye guy comes. It's weird. And then I finish him off by throwing a dirty diaper at him, and he hates the smell. All the kids fainted at one point. My favorite box. Just all the kids fainted. Yeah, when I first saw it, I was like, did I kill someone off?
Is there a date on it by chance? Because that would be amazing.
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to say fourth or fifth grade.
Yeah, but it was after you started reading this, but you don't know where.
Yeah, and I don't know if I wrote that one, and then I was like, I'm not good at this. Haley, you need to help me. Or if Haley abandoned me, and I was like...
That was your last
effort.
That
was I guess I'll just do it.
Okay. Now, how do you feel about fanfiction in general?
I don't know. I mostly don't touch it because I don't care. So, and, things... I hate 50 Shades of Grey and that it started as fan fiction of Twilight. It really freaks me out that is how it happened.
I don't understand that
connection. That upsets me about fan fictions. I get it. It could be... It, would be fun.
It can extend and...
I mostly only get sexual fan fiction. Adulting in that. Otherwise, it's what's the point? Why do you need to expand that world?
Fair enough.
You're not gonna be as good as the author, so I might as well have the smut version.
Now, have you ever written... adult fan fiction?
No.
Okay.
No. That's my only indulgence in any fan fiction.
Okay. What, without revealing
I
your
haven't
taste.
Written. It's the first time I've been asked that.
Yeah. Oh,
it's kind of surprising.
I sort of feel like I would assume you'd write fan fiction of some sort. Is there any fan fiction that you've been I want there to be that fan fiction, and you've not gone to look for it, or?
In the sexual way?
Either
or. No, I mean, because, I don't...
like you said, the author.
Yeah, because I want the author's take after. No, I've usually pretty okay with it ending.
Yeah, I feel like Jane Austen fanfiction is pretty much the biggest...
Yeah.
one that I read. I read a lot of Harry Potter when it was being released, where people were like, I wrote the pretend next version, and I would read those, and I was like, why wasn't this in the book? This is so much better.
I mean, I read, like, comics, which are kind of fan fiction of...
Oh, what kind of comics? Because
they all... Like, DC.
Okay.
So like, superheroes.
DC versus Marvel, or...?
I prefer Marvel movies.
Okay.
I prefer DC comics and characters.
Oh, so this is good to know, because I want to read... Because,
like, Wonder Woman, mostly.
Okay,
she's
okay.
She's the best.
If you read the new... Oh, no, what? That's Ms. Marvel. Have they relaunched Wonder Woman recently?
I mean, they did the new 52 in, like, 2011. Okay. So, she's been good in this new, like...
You'd recommend that one?
Last few years, yeah.
Okay. Because that's...
There's a lot of good... Like, Batgirl, the first, like, Gail Simmons... Simone? I don't know her last name. Her run on Batgirl is, like, really good.
Okay.
And hers is the first one, like, when it relaunched.
Okay.
That's my number one recommendation.
Batgirl?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'll have to write that down. But I kind of want one that's a little bit more self-contained.
Yeah.
Because I've read, I can out-nerd you a little bit, I read the Star Wars comics. There were quite a few series of those when I was growing up, and I read those. But the only other, like, I've read graphic novels,
Worked at a bookstore in high school, and anyone that bought the Star Wars books, like, really upset me. I felt really bad, and I was like, I'm a nerd, and you're such a nerd.
Yeah, it was bad.
It made me sad for them.
So, but the worst, do you know what the worst part about that is? None of those are canon anymore.
Oh, yeah, I heard that.
I am
Yeah,
pissed.
If you've invested that time and that embarrassment in doing that.
The
like,
greatest
working up the courage to buy one of those books is, like, that's a lot more than the, like, $7 the paperback is. It's,
yeah.
Like... That's a $20 expense.
That is. The greatest invention was when Amazon came around.
Yeah.
And I could order my nerdy books without having to go to the bookstore. I had hundreds of Star Wars novels. Like, I pretty much had everyone that was published. Like, when Amazon happened, I went and purchased the ones that were out of print that I was able to get. Because
Are they generally better than the prequels?
Story-wise, yeah. A lot of them. I mean, there's some where you're just kind of like, oh, why am I reading this? But I guess what kills me when... And they kind of went off the deep end, so I'm kind of glad some of them aren't canon. Like, there's some... The ones around the original characters were great.
Yeah.
And they would... I guess what is killing me... Do a whole Star Wars podcast about the extended universe. About them... cutting those from canon is because Lucas had to approve all of those, or like the Lucas Enterprise. He had to approve them. He had to say the story arc was okay, and he did. And they were very protective of that space around the prequel. There were some Old Republic novels, like, of things that were mentioned, and they were able to go off on. What also gets me is all of that raw data that is there. So, like, they want to do a Han Solo standalone. One of my favorite trilogies, one of the two that I kept, is the Han Solo trilogy. Like, it's his origin story.
Can you get
story.
Those now, or do they still sell them, or are they out of print?
I'm pretty sure they still sell them. People are still buying them. But, like, the ones that I kept, too, I kept Han Solo, and I kept the Jedi Academy trilogy. And The Force Awakens is pretty much what's going to happen in the Jedi Academy trilogy. And everything that happens is not going to be in the movies, and I'm going to cry, but I'm still going to go see them because they have my money, and, like, yeah, but it was just heartbreaking. But back to the comic books. I do want to go back to there. I've only ever read graphic novels, and I've only read, like, a very select few of them, usually a graphic memoir or... Watchmen, you know, like the big ones. I've never read.
Why the Last Man? Have you read that?
Yeah.
Read that if not.
Which is that one?
Why the Last Man.
Oh, no, I have.
It's like.
I think I flipped through it, but I don't think I've read it.
It's really incredible.
Have you read, is it Mouse? Is that the other?
Yeah. I mean, it's.
Big Mouse one.
Is like a. I read that in college, like for a class.
Okay.
Because that's like serious political theory stuff mixed in it. Why the Last Man is like post-apocalypse. Only one man lives.
Oh.
It's got all that. That's my cursing.
Might not make it, but we'll see. That might be the blooper at the end. Did you ever read Persepolis?
No.
Have you read graphic novels other than those two?
Maybe. I don't know. Probably not.
Okay.
They weren't very available in our public library growing up.
That's
the Sandman graphic novel? It was released
as
a comic, but they've compiled it. Like,
is that Neil Gaiman?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's they've made it into one.
So I've like read I read that as
serialized.
Yeah, as a graphic novel. I mean, yeah, I enjoy short stories, so if it's like written,
that's interesting.
If it can combine that kind of style, if they can tell a story in a chapter or something.
Yeah. Do you read a lot of short stories?
I mean, I enjoyed it when I was in high school and read them a lot.
Okay.
I don't even know where I would read short stories.
Yeah, because you read, have to
like,
get an anthology.
Of essays, I guess.
I've started reading more essays and like long form articles, yeah. Which are great. Very few are fiction, I think, for me.
Yeah.
But did you read like The New Yorker or anything? Or
no, I read like a lot of there's Atlantic like okay. essays. Yeah. BuzzFeed does like pretty good essays.
Yeah, I've started to read.
It's
I've read a couple recently,
but they're like pretty good. So.
Well, any last thoughts on Captain Underpants before you get to read the little bit you get to read because it's so short?
Oh, I brought up this to my coworkers for movie casting for this book.
Okay.
Because I feel like I've heard that they're making a movie. I would assume it's animated, but if not, mostly I was like talking about Captain Underpants, and I started with the like, I feel like the obvious choice of like a Jack Black, a Will Ferrell.
Okay. I can see Jack
but
Black.
Discount if we're not thinking about people who have passed away, I think my number one choice would be Philip Seymour Hoffman. I was really proud of thinking of that. Because this is what my coworker brought up. Captain Underpants is both, like, as his principal, he's horrible and insane and, like, intense. And as Captain Underpants, he's, like, happy, but he's super serious about what he does.
Yeah.
And he, like, he's very serious and he's very naive. So I feel like it can't be super goofy. Like, a Jack Black wouldn't work because he wouldn't be able to get that drastic tone switch. But
yeah,
also
the gravitas.
Yeah.
But that's interesting because I would not, if I, say I had not read this, and say we were just talking about, oh, have you ever heard about Captain Underpants? They're making a movie. And you said Philip Seymour Hoffman. I would have been like, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
But now that I know.
There's more to it.
That the principal. Now that I know Mr. Krupp is that character, you are spot on. You have nailed it.
100% the only choice for the Dr. Diaper is Danny DeVito.
Obviously.
Like, when I saw him, I was like, oh, he saw Danny DeVito recently in something, and was like, oh, I'll make a bad guy off of him. And then my favorite chapter is chapter 18. To make a long story short, they got away. And that then it's chapter 19. I was like, oh, that's such a good joke.
Yeah, and I think...
And then right before it says, Harold's screaming, oh no, we're doomed, and then they got away.
And I love that it's on the same page.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that makes
There's
it
no
even better.
Anticipation, it's just right away, let's get through this.
Yeah.
That's... yeah.
Well, and I really think, and we've talked about it already, I think the illustration makes it even better.
Yeah, sometimes when the principal's yelling, he has, like, jagged teeth.
Yeah.
Then when he's... In the next one, he does it.
Like, how does that happen?
That they drew it that way.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, when we come back, it is my favorite part. Dalton is going to read a very brief passage for us, and it is very brief because this is a chapter book, and it is maybe less than 100 words. So we will be right back. All right, and we are back. Dalton is going to read us chapter 1 of The Adventures of Captain Underpants.
Chapter 1, George and Harold. Meet George Beard and Harold Hutchins. George is the kid on the left with the tie and the flat top. Harold is the one on the right with the t-shirt and the bad haircut. Remember that now. George and Harold were best friends. They had a lot in common. They lived right next door to each other, and they were both in the same fourth grade class at Jerome Horwitz Elementary School. George and Harold were usually responsible kids. Whenever anything bad happened, George and Harold were usually responsible. But don't get the wrong idea about these two. George and Harold were actually very nice boys. No matter what everybody else thought, they were good, sweet, and lovable. Well, okay, maybe they weren't so sweet and lovable, but they were good nonetheless. It's just that George and Harold each had a silly streak a mile long. Usually that silly streak was hard to control. Sometimes it got them into trouble. And once it got them into big, big trouble. But before I can tell you that story, I have to tell you this story. The end.
So it's, I guess, and that now that you've reread it, and I've had to reread it again, it's kind of like saying... Hey, this is going to be meta. Are you ready for it? Here we go.
I mean, that whole thing. And that, yeah, they repeat both of their names every single time. Yeah, it's very much like I'm talking to you, person reading this.
Yeah, and it's rote learning. Now, did your version have the origin of Captain Underpants at the back?
No.
So he actually wrote a little bit extra. You should read it before you leave because it gives some information. And fun facts about Captain Underpants?
Yeah, no, I didn't get any of those bonus features.
Well, I think that's because this is now in real color. Well, that was chapter one. I probably won't put the pictures in there, but suffice to say it is worth seeing the pictures. When we come back, we're going to do the very last section. We're going to wrap up with the question and answers. We'll be right back. And we are back for the final section. This is just the sort of bookish question and answer session. Doesn't have to deal with Captain Underpants. Very first question, do you own a library card?
Yes.
You do? I've taken books back for you. You don't even know that because I'm such a good friend.
Thanks, man.
Mostly Haley was going to take them back, and I was like, well, I'm going anyway tomorrow. I might as well take them. Do you remember your first library card?
We didn't really have them where I grew up.
Oh, how come?
I mean, you had something on file, so you just said your last name, and they were like, okay. Yeah, it was, like, all under, like, my mom's name, and, like, they were like, oh, Kat, like, they, yeah. I mean, yeah. When you, it's a town of 700 people.
Yeah. But did you have a good public library? Or?
Yeah, it was really good.
How do you feel about the libraries in Boston? You like, or
I've
Boston,
only
Somerville?
Really been to the main Somerville, and, like, once to the East Somerville.
Have you been to the big BPL library?
I don't think so. No. I just got the Somerville one. That fair does enough. Me just fine.
I was saying you can get it through interlibrary loan anyway. We are probably going to go do a tour of that later in the summer if you're interested.
A thing about libraries in my town, because it was all run by, like, crazy old ladies. One lady was, like, especially crazy, and she said anytime you got a book, no matter what day of the week, she said, you have a wild weekend when you left. And she also, they had a George Washington theme thing they're doing, I don't think related to any date important to George Washington, they just decided to do it, and they had these cookies, and the lady said, we came in, and I, like, went for the cookie, and she was like, Martha Washington made these! And just, like, told me, and then she looked at my face and said, you have a secret. You should keep that secret.
That is horrifying. Did you think she was a witch? She kind of sounds like she could have been a witch.
She, like, could have been. Oh. She could have been. That would make a lot of sense.
Oh, that answers a lot.
But she was a great, crazy, kooky librarian lady.
Those are the best ones, though. Those are the ones that you remember, and they make those books that much
more memorable. Yeah, because then there's also the gruff one that, like, kind of sat in the back and, like, actually did work.
Yeah.
That didn't say weird things.
Well, you need the personality and the, you have to move forward the function and that sort of thing. Do you track what you read, like, with Goodreads or anything?
No.
Would you ever?
No.
You're not that interested.
I, like, know what I'm reading. I don't read that, like, insane amount or anything.
How often do you go?
I go through phases, too. Yeah.
Just in and out.
I also will go to my one up in New Hampshire when I'm home for a weekend.
Nice.
Because you can have those books. There's no late fee. It's like if you feel like you should pay the late fee kind of situation.
Just make a donation.
Yeah. I think their official thing is like a nickel, but they don't charge you.
Okay.
Or hold it against you.
Do you own a digital reading device?
Yep. Got a Kindle, and I read all the Jane Austen books on my phone.
I knew you did that. I didn't know you had a Kindle. Do you read a lot on it? Or?
No. I got it when I went abroad. My mom got it for me.
Okay.
I read, like, a bunch of free books there and Hitchhiker's Guide books.
Okay.
And then after that, I never read again on it, really.
And then the library, we can check out Kindle books. You know that too, right?
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
No.
It's amazing. I love the library. I love going to the library, but I'm to the point where, like, if I can get it through the library on my Kindle, I will do that.
I am one of those, like, annoying people who's like, I just like holding the book. I like the smell of the pages. Yeah. I like being, like, reading it on Jane Austen. Why I stopped reading on the Kindle was because I like to track, physically see where I am.
How far
as opposed
you've
got. To even that, like, Kindles will do the percentage or how many pages. It's like, no, it doesn't satisfy me in any way.
Yeah, it takes a lot.
And, like, how I read usually is, like, I'll mark a page to, like, I have to get to that, then I'll go to the bathroom or something.
Like, you'll be
have
like,
little mini goals throughout.
Yeah.
So, like, you can't do that digitally.
Yeah, and it's so hard to flash back, to flip back.
Yeah.
That's the biggest problem I've always had. What about audiobooks?
Nope.
Do you?
No audio. Only audiobook I've listened to ever is the America the Book, the John Stewart textbook kind of thing.
Did he read it?
He read it, and okay. And the correspondent people, it's, like, so funny.
Okay.
We read it at, like, we listened to it as a family repeatedly on, like, a cross-country road trip.
Uh-huh.
That's, like, what we listen to.
But I guess one of the reasons is I don't do that is I read one book at a time. Do you do that, or do you read multiple?
Yeah, I only read one at a time.
Okay. Any specific reason, or easier?
Yeah, it's, like, easier. I'd rather... I'm
mind.
Only devoted to what... Like, I'm not gonna... I read, like, fairly quickly, so it's, like,
yeah.
Usually I'm, like, if I want to read something else, I'll just get through this and read that, like,
yeah.
Or I just quit. I'm pretty okay with stopping reading a book, like,
okay.
Even when
like
I'm
a...
pretty deep into it.
Do you have a... Okay, so you don't
no
have, like,
cutoff.
A cutoff.
Right. I'm, like, if I'm just not feeling it, I'll stop reading it.
I wish I had that. I need that. Especially, like, some of those long-ass 1,200-page novels.
Yeah.
I'm, like, page 1,000. I'm, like, there's still a whole nother novel left to go.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I saw these Aragon books. I read the first, like, two, and then I, like, started the third one, and was like, I'm over this, and never finished any of them.
Fourth one's the best.
Okay, good
I
to
mean,
know.
It just, it got, his writing got better. He matured as
well,
an
yeah,
author.
Well, yeah, because he was, like, 15
yeah.
when he started it. Those
okay.
are fan fiction. I always have issues because
yeah,
it's just
kinda...
Lord of the Rings. He uses the same words at times.
Yeah, and I think that's... I always had a big issue. That's a whole... another controversy for me, is so many people gave him so much shit. And I was like, but a lot of that are tropes
I mean, yeah, they've existed.
Every author's
and
used,
stuff.
Yeah. And I also was like, he was 15.
Yeah.
You know what I was doing when I was
15?
He was
too obvious, and you'd think that... I guess I don't think he had an editor at first. But
no,
you'd think
I
somebody
think...
would have gone, hey, kid, change those names of orcs to, like, a...
Something
your
else.
Own creation.
Yeah.
It's like a few letters, switch it around.
Yeah,
dude.
And I think that's... And I agree with that. I think his first two books, there wasn't an editor. It was his parents who edited
yeah.
it. And I think the editing got better.
Yeah.
Like, I had never read a dragon book where the dragons had that sort of...
Yeah.
That was what I found
yeah,
most
yeah.
interesting. What was the last book you read?
Some Dean Koontz book.
Dean Koontz book. Okay, do you read a lot of them?
Okay, so I probably prefer... Joe Hill, which is Stephen King's
son. Okay.
He's my number one, like, horror writer. Then it's Stephen King. Then it's, like, Dean Koontz. It's tied
okay.
with every other one.
So you read a lot of horror.
I enjoy it, yeah, now. Now that I've matured, I can read Goosebumps. It's like, yeah, I enjoy being scared. And books aren't so scary like movies.
Oh.
I can handle it a lot better.
Is horror your favorite genre, or do you have another...
I mean, I would say my favorite genre is, like, easy, like, parent books. Like, nothing that's...
Like
intense.
Beach reads?
Yeah, like
okay.
beach reads. Like,
okay. I was like, parent books? Like parenting?
I mean,
what?
Like books that my mom would read.
Okay. It's a middle-aged woman books.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Fair enough.
But like not the romance-y ones. Like the
say,
mysteries.
Do you have any hang-ups for romance?
No, I have no interest. I like mysteries or horror where like the plot is the driving factor, not like the characters.
The characters okay.
I don't care about these characters.
Have you ever read any of like the classic mysteries like Agatha Christie or that sort of thing? Or?
I've read some Agatha Christie's. I like them. Yeah.
yeah.
I don't like love them. The Westing Game.
The
we
West
read that
game.
In school. It's like a Clue book.
Yeah.
Pretty much Clue.
I think I read that.
Yeah. Yeah, I like plot-heavy books.
Okay. What's your favorite book?
I probably don't have a favorite book.
You just have, like, authors you stick
with. I mean, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy might be my favorite book.
No, just the first one or all
just
of them?
The first one.
Would you
the
recommend the rest,
rest
of them? Because I bought...
they
a
get worse as you go on, and I don't remember the titles, but there's some, like, decent... I don't think it ever gets bad.
Okay.
But the first one's definitely the best.
Okay. So I should bump that up my list.
Yeah. It's
okay.
so funny.
And then the very last question is, if you could make me read one book, what would that be?
I mean, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
Hey, I will take it because I already have it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially if that's your favorite book. Now, what about it's your favorite, or is it just...
That it's really funny.
Okay.
It's just, like, really weird.
Yeah.
Huh? That one isn't as... It's more like these characters, that you're following. It's not like plot heavy, which is
okay.
interesting that I
oh.
enjoy it. I also really love the Series of Unfortunate Events books.
I want to read those. Are
read
they worth
those
it?
That's my biggest one.
Okay.
Yeah, those are so good.
Have
it's
you ever
so
read...
dark and like horrifying that they're written for like fifth graders and sixth graders.
Have you ever read Artemis Fowl?
Yes.
Did you
I really
like those?
Enjoyed those.
Okay. I love those.
Yeah.
And I've always wanted to read Unfortunate Events, but I felt like
that
there
one's
were just
like
so many of them.
Probably. They're really short.
Okay.
They're like 200 pages, like
and
pretty big font.
For, okay.
And they're, yeah. It's that one might be my favorite, like, actually young adult fiction over
above
like
Harry Potter. Oh, interesting.
And just that it's so unique. Harry Potter's like, it's magic.
It's
there's
good
a lot of fantasy
evil.
Out there.
Yeah.
This is like so weird and
okay.
dark.
Well, that is pretty much everything. Don't forget to go look at my blog, jeffwhaley.com. I'm on Twitter, all that fun stuff. Dalton, you should check out his amazing, wondrous, adventurous world at the wetwitchwhistler.tumblr.com. I am not going to spell that because it's too many wah sounds. And you can follow him on Twitter at barleypoop. Barley, his lovely dog. I've met Barley. And he has great insights, like my review of Mansfield Park. That escalated quickly. I think that might be my all-time favorite review of that. So thank you for coming, and I will see everybody in about 2 months. Bye.
There, running across the parking lot, was a pudgy old guy in his underwear with a red cape flowing behind him. That's just a sentence that exists in this book.